You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Just because Father's Day has passed doesn't mean you can't shop for some bargains. DanPatrick.com, got some t-shirts there, hats, coffee mugs, a lot of great things. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. I mentioned that the Dodgers are underdogs tonight. It's been the first time in 150 games they're underdogs. I was also, I don't know how your week was, but Shohei Ohtani had a better week than you did. Tuesday hit a home run. Wednesday hit a home run. Thursday pitched six innings, got the win. Friday hit a home run. Saturday hit a home run. Sunday hit a home run. Shohei Ohtani had a really good week. We are taking your phone calls, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. McLovin, the poll question.
Who had the worst weekend? It's actually Ben Simmons, 71%, and then Bryson DeChambeau down at 20%. So everyone's blaming Ben.
Yeah, I think we could call that one.
Yeah.
I think it's over.
Well, DeChambeau was pretty bad.
Shohei Ohtani's 23 home runs tied for the most by any Angel through the first 70 games of any season all time. He's tied with Mike Trout, who did it twice. Albert Pujols hit 23 home runs at this stage back in 2015. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock. Carries our show all 3 hours. Streaming service. Download the app. Watch for free. And our radio affiliates around the country. The iHeart Radio lineup and Fox Sports Radio as well. Bucks close out the Nets. Hawks close out the 76ers. Jazz bow out. Suns beat the Clippers in game one without Chris Paul. Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. No NBA coming up tonight. Reggie Miller will join us coming up in a little bit. There are certain stories that will last longer than a weekend. Sometimes something happens and then it stays there for a while. And Ben Simmons is going to stay there for a while. You know, the Lakers situation will stay there the entire summer. Now, a lot of that has to do with the clicks that you get. The media will keep those stories alive. But this is a big story in Philadelphia. Obviously, with the Lakers, what do they do in the offseason? A big story in Los Angeles, but really the NBA community. Ben Simmons is a big question mark. And I don't think Doc Rivers, you know, did Ben Simmons, any positives here. I think Doc was honest. He got an honest question, gave an honest answer. But I don't know if it was a situation where he should have tried to deflect it just a little bit. Here is Doc with a back and forth with the reporter.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. You know, so I don't know the answer to that.
What do you, when you say get in the gym with him, what needs to be done? I mean, obviously, this is
coaching. Yeah, I mean, that's between Ben and I.
See, I think that he gave an honest answer, and then he deflected. I think if you're going to deflect up top, not at the very end. And Doc usually does that, and he talks about Ben Simmons. He has Ben's back. But in this situation, and I'm going to talk to Reggie Miller about this. I brought this up with Reggie last year. I said, if Ben Simmons reached out to you, and he said, I'd gladly work with him and help him. This isn't just about form. This is more about the mental process with this, because he didn't even want to take shots. He passed up a dunk when the only guy he had to worry about was Trae Young. And the fact that you're not even, he's not taking shots. He's not scoring, but he's not even taking shots in the fourth quarter. And Ben Simmons talked about that play specifically where he passed up the dunk.
You gave up a dunk opportunity right there. And I know you're a pass first guy, but you're also 6'10 and 240. Is there something going on in your head where you just feel like you can't shoot at some times?
Nah, I just assumed Gallo was coming over my back. And then Collins moved out. And so I thought we just had a wide open dunk.
All right. That's not the case. Now he can say that, but nobody's buying that. Because if Gallinari is on your back, okay, so what? You got position, dunk. What's the worst thing that happens? Oh, that's right. You get fouled and go to the free throw line. Now what do you do in the offseason? You know, you're not going to get dollar for dollar if you trade him. And you shouldn't expect that. It's not like you go, hey, we trade him to Portland and we get Damian Lillard. No, I would lower my expectations. Maybe if you trade him to Portland and get CJ McCollum, okay, then at least we could have a conversation about it. But Ben Simmons right now is damaged goods. Paying him a lot of money. And he doesn't perform up to that level. He just doesn't. He's not that kind of player. I mean, you give me 14, 8, and 8, and I go, yeah, no, not in today's game. I mean, it's hard not to average. If you're a marquee player, it's hard not to average 20 points a game. It really is. In today's game, I mean, everybody is scoring. Scoring is up, all-time high. But he doesn't give you the threat of a two-pointer, let alone a three-pointer. And he doesn't want to go to the free throw line. And it's only going to get worse because that's what's happened. He's regressed. And you could see it. We saw this with Lonzo Ball, where you have this mental hurdle. Because normally when you swing the ball and you're wide open, you take the shot. Lonzo doesn't want to take the shot. He was better this year. Ben doesn't want the ball at all. And you know what they have to do? They have to put him inside so somebody has to guard him. Because if you put him on the perimeter, nobody has to guard Ben Simmons. Here's the person that's gotten off scot-free, I think, and that's James Harden. Because James Harden, in elimination, closeout games, in his career, has had 8 of those. He's 1-7. Maybe he's injured. Maybe he's more injured than we thought. But this is a habit. This is a pattern here. He didn't help the Nets. Now, he did come back, you know, to the hamstring injury. A lot of this has to do with James Harden mailed it in when he started the season. He was not in shape. And it caught up to him. I mean, this is a bad year for the Nets. Really, it was get to the finals, at least get to the finals. And they didn't get there. Give credit to the Bucks. They came up big when they needed to, finally. Giannis played extremely well. You had a good team effort there with Milwaukee to bounce the Nets. But, man, you start to take inventory with the Nets, and there were some guys who did not want the ball. There were some alligator arms there. You know, game on the line, and Durant wanted the ball. Everybody knew he was getting the ball, and he still had a miraculous series. A wonderful, wonderful playoff run here. Reestablishing himself as the best player in the game, perhaps. I think, recency bias, you would say he's the best player in the game right now. But he's not around. Devin Booker coming out party. Trae Young coming out party. That's fun. Can't help but look at the Utah Jazz and say, you had your opportunity. What could have been? Even though Donovan Mitchell wasn't 100%, Mike Conley was not 100%, you should still, you start out 2-0 against the Clippers and lose 4 straight. That's going to leave a mark. Yeah, Seton.
Is it possible, though, that we're being too critical of Ben Simmons on passing up that dunk? The video looks terrible, but it happened really fast. He was basically already under the rim. He didn't have his feet set, and he did have a guy coming crashing towards him. In that split second, is it possible?
If that's the only thing we're criticizing, then I could say, okay, maybe there's a little gray area there. Maybe.
It happens pretty quick.
But he doesn't take any shots in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
In the last 4 games, I don't know if he made a field goal in the fourth quarter. All you need to do is watch Joel Embiid's reaction. That's why I don't think we're being too critical. Joel Embiid's got his arms up. I'm like, what are you doing? And so what if Gallinari is on your back? Is he going to block your dunk? Chances are you're probably going to shoot free throws. He did not want to shoot free throws. I'm looking at game 7, didn't take a field goal attempt, fourth quarter. Game 6, didn't attempt a field goal, fourth quarter. Game 5, didn't attempt a field goal, fourth quarter. Game 4, did not attempt a field goal. Game 3, he took one and he made one. Game 2, he did not take a field goal attempt. Game 1, he took 2 and made 2 of them. That's horrible. Horrible. Yeah, Paul.
It is funny, though, if you think about it, Simmons passing is the right play in that situation based off his current state. He's thinking to himself, well, I don't want to be at the free throw line. And he knows he's about to get hacked. I mean, again, he shouldn't be in a position where he has to give those up. But the moment's like, I got to get rid of this. I can't go to the line. He's like almost self-aware of how bad it is.
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's aware.
Like, oh, I can't have the ball too long. They could foul me. Yeah, McLovin.
So why is he on the court? Doc Rivers had to think about pulling him.
Yeah, I know. And I'd love to have had the opportunity. We asked if Doc would come on. And I politely declined. But I would want to know, why not just take him off the floor? Now, you might say, well, he helps us in other areas. I'm guessing that's what his answer is going to be. But deep down, I know what his true answer would be. You know, psychologically, you're going to take your supposed second best player off the floor. What's that going to do to him? Yeah, McLovin.
Are you worried the same thing could happen with Giannis and the Bucks in the next series? Atlanta knows the game now. In a close game, is how big a concern is his free throw shooting?
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal. I mean, I would certainly, you know, tap into that. I would make him beat me. He shot two air balls. He can't pull the trigger in 10 seconds. I would gladly put him on the free throw line. Take my chances. Let him shoot threes. Let him shoot free throws. You know, I just don't want to, you know, let him have dunks. Doc Rivers has been in a game seven. I think this is the 15th time. He's won six of those 15. He's 6-5 at home in game sevens. Now, these are defining moments here. Doc, you know, Ben Simmons. Yeah, Paul.
And going back to what you're saying about comparing Simmons to Shaq in the situation, Shaq's got 34-17 at that point in the fourth quarter. You know, he was worth the risk because during the normal play of the game, he could dominate with dunks and block shots and rebounding. There was the question with Shaquille when his free throws were bad, like, hey, can we get him out of here or avoid the hack of Shaq? And that was a big problem, but he was too dominant in other areas.
And he wasn't afraid to go to the free throw line. Like he took the ball. He wasn't a guy shooting 35% from the line. A couple of phone calls. Reggie Miller will join us. Tom in Tennessee. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I'd like to bring up Nick Anderson because he reminds me of Ben Simmons. But Nick, throughout his career, when he first came in the NBA, he couldn't shoot more than 6 or 7 feet from the basket. He was all post player. Then his game got better. He could shoot three-pointers. He could play defense. He was a pretty good player, and I thought heading to a Hall of Fame career, then the game won against Houston.
Yeah.
It ruined his whole career. Nick Anderson never was the same player when he missed those free throws. Now, he was about a 70% free throw shooter until that game. After that game, he hung out on the three-point line. He was afraid to post because he would get fouled. He was even afraid to shoot from the three-point line. He would go 25, 27 feet because no one would foul him there.
Yeah, that's a great point that you bring up, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, I remember Nick. Nick was on my fantasy team. Nick killed me with the free throw percentages.
Never forget.
Nope, I won't. All right, we'll take a break. Reggie Miller set to join us. A lot of questions for Reg. More of your phone calls as well. We'll take a break. It's 15 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Full Sail University, would you like to do what I do? Would you like to be a broadcaster? Would you like to get a degree, your bachelor's degree in sportscasting? You can. I've teamed up with Full Sail University. We launched the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Now, you can be on campus or you can be online. You can earn your bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months, you can choose to earn your degree online or Full Sail's campus. That's in Orlando, Florida. Learn more about this, the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. The approach to education is they combine hands-on learning, immersive projects. You're going to love the faculty. They have real-world experience. They prepare you for what life is really like in this industry. And they give you honest critiques. It's not criticism, it's critiques to make you better. But I make sure that the faculty tells students what they need to hear to get better, because that's really what this is all about. Learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. You can go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Man, there was a lot to recap. Bucks close out the Nets. Hawks close out the Sixers. Jazz bow out. Suns beat the Clippers. No NBA coming up tonight. John Rahm wins the U.S. Open. That's a busy weekend. Reggie Miller will be on the call for the Eastern Conference Finals on TNT between the Hawks and the Bucks beginning Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern. Yeah, I'm sure you predicted that, didn't you, Reg? Hawks versus the Bucks.
We went to Vegas, didn't we? Didn't we put our money down on the Bucks and the Hawks?
Well, I had the Bucks.
It was a blur for you and I. I can vaguely remember, but I remember you and I distinctly having that conversation. Reg, let's go put down our money on the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Wow.
All right, before we get to the winning teams, let me start with the losing teams. Seems sure. They're more interesting here. Let me start with Philadelphia. I brought this up to you last year. I think I brought this up to you in the last 2 years with Ben Simmons. What would you do with Ben Simmons? If you're Philadelphia, you want to keep him. So what do you do?
I think you go out to a hardware store and you buy all the locks possible. You put them in a gym and you padlock the door shut. I think, look.
But his form is bad, Reg.
He is going to take a beating this offseason, and a little bit rightfully so. It's not so much that he wasn't shooting. He wasn't aggressive at all. And I don't mind him missing jump shots or whatever, but put pressure on the defense. He wasn't putting any pressure on Atlanta whatsoever. And at 6'10", in that frame, all I got to do is put him in the mid post and let him get a couple crab dribbles until he gets into the paint, collapse the defense. That's being aggressive. It's not always taking shots. People assume that when I tell people to be aggressive, it's always about shots. Sometimes it's good to be a decoy and create offense for others, which he's good at. He wasn't even doing that, Dan, and that's the problem.
Yeah, but now it's mental, Reg. He didn't attempt field goals in the fourth quarter in, what, 5 of the 7 games. They have to put him down in the low post to hide him, because then somebody has to guard him down there as opposed to on the perimeter.
Look, as much as I love Doc Rivers, I've been on this show and said he's one of the best coaches. He's got to take partial blame of this, because, look, we all were reading the stats coming into Game 7. We knew that he hadn't attempted shots. We knew that he hadn't been aggressive. This kind of has to go – the blowback has to go a little bit to Doc as well, because Doc knew this. But here's the other thing. Where does he turn to? Is he turning to Shake Milton? Is he turning to Thibault? Where do you want him to turn when you have a, 23, 24? I'm not exactly sure how old Ben Simmons is. Do you crush his confidence by taking him out? I mean, are you going to grow with him? So Doc has to look in the mirror a little bit, because Doc left him out there. He left him on the island out there as well. But where does Doc turn to?
But I wonder if he can stay in Philadelphia.
Well, look, someone will open up the piggy bank for him. You know that, right?
Yeah, but so. I don't – it's, you know, you're not going to get dollar for dollar for him. It's not like, hey, we're going to trade him to Portland to get Dame Lillard.
Right.
I mean, I don't know where you can send him and what you could get in return. Almost feels like there's a little addition by subtraction here, Reg.
And I think they kind of did that with their overall number one pick a few years ago in Markel Fultz, right?
Yeah.
Did Markel Fultz have a little dips and a hitch in his shot, and he was the overall number one pick? He was supposed to be teamed with Ben Simmons. It was supposed to be the backcourt of the future. And it was, you know, addition by subtraction again. So you see what you can get, maybe a couple first round draft picks, get younger and get lucky in the draft again. But I wouldn't close the book on Ben Simmons because he is such a young player. I agree with you that it is mental at this aspect, but this is something that can be corrected. It's a shame to see because he's such a good kid and he has so much physical talent. He just needs a jump shot.
Yeah, but here's the thing though, Reg. There's one thing, his form is not good. And sure. And then the mental aspect of this, I know they're combined because if all of a sudden he starts making shots, it's amazing that you feel a lot more confident about your game. And I don't know, do I work on the mental side of this with Ben Simmons and then the physical, or does it have to be the other way?
I think you have to work on the mental side first because the physical side will come. That's just repetition, being in the gym and getting your reps in. The mental approach, I think, will take longer because as you and I know how Philly fans are and how talk radio is right as we speak in Philadelphia, they are crucifying this young man. And mentally, how is he going to come to grips with that? And he has to get stronger mentally first before the physical aspects can take place.
Yeah, he's just got to try to survive until football season starts in Philadelphia. That'll take away the heat from him.
Good luck with that. Good luck.
The Nets, Durant was spectacular. And I don't know James Harden's health status there, Reg. But James Harden in closeout games is, I think, 1-7 now. He was not good yesterday either. And...
well, he really wasn't good in the three games he came back for the Nets.
Yeah.
He was just out there. And they needed another player with Kyrie being down with the ankle injury. And you're right. Superhuman effort by Kevin Durant. But I put a tweet out after game five, after that unbelievable game that he had to bring them back when they were down double digits against Milwaukee. This is a guy that's coming off an Achilles tear.
I know.
And all season long, you have rested him. And he played 48 minutes. If you would have rested him during the regular season, again, winning game five, that was the game they needed to get to go up 3-2. Game six, it's a luxury. It's not a necessity. I would have rested him. And certainly I would have rested James Harden, who played 45 minutes in game five and gave them 5 points. The fact that they came back and played them in game six, everyone killed me.
Yeah, you're right.
No, you go after game six. You go, no, I want to win one game and I'll sort the rest out later. I'm pushing all my chips in the game. Wouldn't you have rather, now in hindsight, wouldn't you have rather had a rested on 3 days rest, Kevin Durant, and certainly James Harden for game seven? Did you see how they were just hung over in exhaustion, both teams? But wouldn't you have loved to have had a fresh Kevin Durant and a fresh James Harden in game seven? 40 minutes they played in game six, and Harden was a little bit better than game five. He didn't shoot the ball great. And KD was KD. But the Bucks played it smart. Don't blow them out. Keep it close so they have to play those minutes. 40 minutes both by them in game six. And they come back, and what did KD hit? 53? He played the whole game and overtime.
Yeah.
And what, 45 for James Harden? Maybe more in that overtime deciding game seven? It was too much. And on top, and having said all that, they were a size 16 shoe on the line from winning that. Having me said all that, they still could have won that. But I'm just saying, I needed one game. If I'm the Nets, I don't care if I'm going to take a beating for not having them play in game six. I want them fresh for game seven, and I'll worry about game one when game one comes in the conference finals. Now, if the Nets would have lost game five, I never would have said that because that's out of necessity that he has to play game six. But it was a luxury that they won. I don't need game six. I need game seven.
The Utah Jazz had a great opportunity, missed opportunity. And, I mean, we could look at Mike Conley not being in there. I mean, you win the first two games, Reg, and then lose four straight.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell wasn't 100%. But still, you have home court advantage. And the defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, got abused. I don't – was this a successful season for the Jazz?
Successful regular season. You had the overall best record. You had the defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert. You had the sixth man of the year in Jordan Clarkson.
But doesn't that make it worse, Reg?
It does. And then, Coach Snyder was almost coach of the year. So you almost had three of the top awards on your team. And yet you're up 25 in the second half.
I know.
On the road. And it's a closeout scenario for you. You've got to close the door, and by any means necessary, you've got to get that game six back to Salt Lake City for game seven. So having highlighted all that, it's disappointing if you're a Jazz fan, because you can't be 25. Now, look, I know comebacks happen. I've been a part of them, and I'm on both sides. But you've got to win that game, Dan. You can't be up 25 in the second half. It's one thing to be up early, 25. But in the third quarter, with the firepower they have, you got to win that game.
Talking to Reggie Miller, Hall of Famer. Reg will be on the call Eastern Conference Finals. That will be Hawks-Bucks. That'll be Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern. More of a coming out party for Trae Young or Devin Booker, in your opinion?
I think I said on this show, the one person I was excited to see in these playoffs above everyone else was Devin Booker. Real basketball minds like yourselves and mine, we know, we understand true players. Devin Booker is a true player. He just has been on crappy teams his whole career, his whole young career.
Yeah.
And we're finally getting a chance. We caught a glimpse of it in the bubble last season when they went 8-0 and everyone was kind of, what was the NBA going to look like? Everyone convened in one place. So we caught a glimpse of that. Even though they didn't make the playoffs, they were the only team to be undefeated down there. And then when they added Chris Paul, they exploded this year, second best record in the West. But Devin Booker, I've said all along, and people thought I was crazy, because his idol is Kobe Bryant. And he has taken on that mentality, that mama mentality, by any means necessary. And I love the dog that's in him, and I'm glad that people are finally seeing it. Trae Young has been great. Don't get me wrong. What he's done on the Eastern Shore board has been fantastic, taking out the Knicks and the Sixers. But Devin Booker, I can't believe he didn't make one of the All-NBA teams. I don't know who's voting on this.
Not me.
Not me.
Not me. Did the NBA have a good season? When you now let me preface this. You know, they wanted a short season, very mm-hmm. little off season, mm-hmm. and then a battle of injuries with marquee players, and now four non-premier teams remaining in the playoffs. Has the NBA had a good year?
Well, one thing I will say, I don't want fans hitting me on Twitter, hitting you on Twitter. I don't want to hear about conspiracy theories anymore. I don't want to hear about refs or Adam Silver wanting the big name teams. I don't want to hear all that, because they had a shot to have Brooklyn and Philly in the conference finals. You've got Steph out in the play-in game. You've got LeBron James out in the first round. I don't want to hear all that. The best teams win. What is a success? It's time for new blood. We would never know the story of Trae Young, of Devin Booker, of Donovan Mitchell to a certain extent if it wasn't for these playoffs. So you need new blood. LeBron James can't play forever. Chris Paul can't play forever. Kevin Durant has shown why he was the best player before the Achilles injury and after the Achilles injury. But we need some of these 20-year-olds to show up, and they have. So I know the ratings probably won't be great, but I love new blood. I love smaller markets being on the biggest stage like Milwaukee.
Wait a minute. If we were doing a pickup game, and yes. and it's LeBron and KD, and you have first pick.
Well, pickup game, you need buckets. I'm going with KD.
Okay, if you were going to have one guy for a season, just one year, is KD better than LeBron James?
At this point of his career, like LeBron at 36 or LeBron at 30?
Right now, today. Are you betting against LeBron?
I would never bet against LeBron. But right now, right now, what KD showed me those last three ball games, we like to call Kawhi Leonard the Terminator because we feel like he's a machine. He just does it over and over. For this dude to play 48, come back with 40, and come back with 53 minutes straight in that performance, those performances, I'm rolling with Kevin Durant.
LeBron's like the Terminator, man. Like, I would not bet against him. I wouldn't bet against Brady. I wouldn't bet against LeBron. Just wouldn't.
Look what KD did.
No, I understand all of that. And KD is playing better, certainly offensively, scoring-wise.
Right.
I wouldn't bet against, I don't know. I wouldn't bet against LeBron. I just wouldn't.
How about this? This is the best way. Let's just flip-flop them on their current teams.
Okay.
If KD was on the Lakers this year versus Phoenix, and LeBron was on Brooklyn in that closeout situation versus Milwaukee, does it end up the same way?
Just
flip-flop them. KD on the Lakers going against Phoenix, and LeBron on Brooklyn going against Milwaukee.
I'm guessing Durant might have been able to carry them.
I think so.
Scoring-wise in the first round. Scoring-wise.
Right.
LeBron would have made the Nets different. And the backup players different. You know, it's one thing to know you're going to get the ball as opposed to, you know, we're just watching KD. LeBron, right. LeBron is inclusive. KD is not inclusive. KD is just dominating. So it would be a different Nets. Like, I would hope that, you know, Joe Harris would actually show up. Like, some of the other players would show up there, and LeBron would probably be demanding that because he would be inclusive. Whereas,
okay, so what I just laid out to you is basically was the talk of the 80s and up to the early 90s. Would you take Magic Johnson or would you take Michael Jordan? Because that's basically what you just said. One's inclusive and one is just a dominant, right?
Yeah.
So would you take Magic Johnson to set everyone else up and be the winner? Or would you take one of the most dominating scorers and mentally tough players?
Yeah, but
of their
LeBron's going to be the greatest scorer of all time. Magic was not a scorer. Like, LeBron is one of the great scorers of all time. So I get Magic, distributor. Mm-hmm. I get a better defender. I get now not as good a passer, and then I get a far better scorer. So LeBron's different than Magic. You know, Magic was limited offensively. LeBron is not so much. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. It depends. If I put Magic on the Bulls, do they still win six titles?
And are you putting MJ on the Lakers?
Yeah.
With Kareem?
Oh, I know.
With Big Game James? With Michael Cooper? With Byron Scott?
But how would they have done with Jordan? I don't know if they would have enjoyed it as much as they did with Magic. Right?
I don't think they would have been the showtime. It would have been showtime.
It would have been right? It would have been me time. It would have been right. Mike time. Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Dan said that, not me. Theodore said that.
I'm not afraid of Jordan. He'd say it too. He'd be like, yeah, it'd be about me though. Would they be as good with Mike as opposed to, would the Bulls be as good with Magic?
Maybe not six. I would say four. Maybe not six, but four.
I think the Lakers would have too much talent to be denied, whereas I don't, as great as Magic was, I don't think the Bulls would have had enough scoring around him.
I think Mike made Steve Kerr, Paxson, Scotty to a certain degree. He made those, Judd Bushler, he made those guys relevant.
What are you doing today? You have no NBA?
No, this is crazy.
No, it's good. We need to take a breather.
That was a big weekend.
That was crazy.
It was a big weekend to digest.
Yeah.
Look, I'm all in for new blood. I know people are probably not happy, but
Could you bet against the Clippers right now? Because
I still have Phoenix winning it all.
Oh, really?
I have Phoenix winning it all.
Okay.
I have Phoenix winning it all.
Okay.
After seeing them up close, seeing how their defense is, now I'll be curious to see conditioning-wise how CP3 is coming back.
Yep.
But if he hasn't missed a beat, I still like Phoenix to win it all. That includes the winner of Milwaukee-Atlanta, which a lot of people are going to assume is Milwaukee. I'm still rolling with Phoenix.
All right, Reg. Great to talk to you, bud.
I love these spirited conversations with you. This is why our friendship has endured, because a lot of times we may agree to disagree, but at the end of the day, I always end up agreeing with you, Dan. That's your show.
We have that and shooting in common.
Do we? Okay, we do.
Let's take a break. No. All I know is Reg laughed at me after a practice at Indiana when I was shooting against Mark Jackson. And Reggie wouldn't even stay and watch. He wouldn't stay and watch. He laughed at me and went into the locker room. That still hurts, Reg.
It's called, I was trying to build your confidence.
No, you did not. You laughed at me. You went, I'm not staying around for this. And then you started laughing. You ran off the floor.
I love you, Theo.
Thank you, Reg. That's Reggie Miller. Be on the call Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern, TNT, the Eastern Conference Finals. Last call for phone calls back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, all of that coming up here. All righty. Let's see. Doug in North Carolina. Doug, good morning. What do you have for me?
Well, Dan, you were talking about your upcoming fly fishing trip with your brothers, and I have to tell you this. Last month, I got to cross an item off the bucket list. I always wanted to go fly fishing. I went up to Bryson City, North Carolina, up in the Smoky Mountains. And I don't want to brag. I paid a professional $300 for a guided tour. And in my first three casts, don't want to put any pressure on you and your brothers, I hooked the bush directly behind me, my first three casts. And I had 4 hours and 45 minutes left to go. And I turned into Ben Simmons, where I didn't want to cast anymore. I tried to get the pro to do it, and he's like, that's the whole point of fly fishing. You got to cast. It was horrible. It's a beautiful sport. Horrible. So good luck to you guys.
Thank you, Doug. Doug, thank you. Hopefully the dog is not biting you there. Yes, Paul.
Like, if you didn't want to fish, you can't just stand in the water with waders and drink with your buddies, right?
Yeah,
you have to act. You can?
Yeah.
But you got to participate.
No, you can just let your line float. You
I'm talking about purely standing there with a beer in your hand, just watching your buddies.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just keep the fire going or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll just build a little fire over here.
My oldest brother can't fish. Not at all. He spent half the time last time they went fly fishing, like, getting the... You know, the fly untangled. Like, he had no idea what he was doing.
That doesn't sound fun to me at all.
But he had a great time. Mm. You know, because it's about bonding. I had gone fishing in British Columbia, and this is many, many years ago. And that's when I stayed at the Sony Fishing It was like a lodge that the head of Sony built a fishing lodge in British Columbia, middle of nowhere. And it was just spectacular. Whales were out front breaching, caught a ton of salmon. It was a lot of fun. But like you can cast if you don't have trees around you. That's part of the problem. That's when you wade into the water because you have more room to be able to cast. But it'll be fun. It'll be a fun bonding trip with my brothers. Bob in North Carolina. Hi, Bob.
Hello. How you doing there, Dan?
Great, Bob.
5'8", 190. That's 10 pounds less than before the pandemic started. I'm grateful for that. Right. Beside that, my best is John Rahm winning the U.S. Open, and my worst is WHO in Des Moines cutting away while the winning putt was on the hole for a weather news break. And I was trying to figure out how that could have happened. Actually, Heather this morning said it was 7 seconds. And I figured the news director at WHO was probably watching the delayed feed instead of the live feed. He said, okay, go. Is that right?
I'm not sure, Bob. And I don't know who Heather is either. But I'm sorry that you had that delay. Feels like he's calling into a local station to complain to the news director. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, you're really not up on your Des Moines weathercasters as
Heather
used to be. A station in Des Moines. I guess there was possible tornado, so it wasn't just like sleet. It wasn't just like a storm. They cut away as on the final hole.
And who's Heather?
We're still looking at them.
Okay, thank you.
I'll stay on this.
You have this day in sports history?
Yes, got a couple. Okay. Not a good one. 1939, Lou Gehrig quit baseball due to his illness.
Today.
1997, the WNBA started. The New York Liberty defeated the LA Sparks 67-57. And that's about it.
That's it. Let's see. Anything else that I need? Oh, Lennox Lewis beat Mike Tyson on this day in 2002. Eighth round knockout.
Who needs enemies if you could have friends like that? Who needs enemies, right, Danny?
See, that's okay. I like that you interrupted
me. I fight Lennox Lewis anytime. I'm the greatest fighter. No one could beat me. I'll eat your heart, eat your children, pray be a law.
No, then you laugh.
He wants me to fight a whale or a shark or friends like that. Who needs enemies, right, Danny?
I don't care what the dialogue is before, but you always have to end with the laugh with Mike Tyson. Nobody does the Mike Tyson laugh.
I just want to smoke weed. People want to talk basketball with me. It's so silly. Who cares about fighting?
Now, see, that's great.
I just want to hang out with my pigeons.
Okay, let's not do all it right, too right. many times, okay? See, that's what happens.
I do. I push okay, it.
All right, you do. Less is more. Cut it in half.
Sure,
and
you're
cut
right.
It in half.
You've said it so many times.
Todd, what'd you learn today?
Doc Rivers seems to have serious doubts as to whether the Sixers can win a title with Ben Simmons on the roster.
McLovin.
Ann Myers kind of wants to go one-on-one with you, I think.
Yeah, not alone. Seton?
Reggie Miller once laughed at you shooting?
Yes, dang. He did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Paulie?
Michael Jordan on the Lakers? Me time.
What We Learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options. Cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything, go the extra mile. Taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support. Do it again tomorrow. Have a great Monday, everybody. For Seton Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly here on the Dan Patrick Show.